I want you to look with me, if you want to be turning to the Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and verse 10. And while you're turning there, just a thought or two about our particular ministry there in Portugal. Because homes are closed to visitors, they don't receive people in their homes, and it is a real job to look for ways to be able to speak to people. One of the things that we were able to do was to become part of the city band. And at age 60, I began to learn to play the trombone. Norma, my wife, plays all kinds of percussion in the band. Our daughter Rachel plays French horn and teaches French horn in the band. And our three granddaughters each played an oboe, a clarinet, and another French horn player. But through getting into the band and getting to know people and being able to witness to people in different settings that band offered us, we were able to start our first youth camp back in 2009. And through the band relationships and then starting that youth camp, we were able to see several young people over the years, about 25 of them, maybe 27, but at least 25 of them, make professions of faith in Christ. Most of them are not permitted to come to our church, although they come back year after year to youth camp. We cannot have individual discipleship with them outside, out of youth camp. But in spite of all of that, God has been working in those families. And we have about 8 youth in our church now from the efforts of the youth camp that started through efforts in the band. God opened some way to get into people's lives and give them the gospel. And that's what we have to believe. This matters so much more to God than to any of us. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God loves your neighbor. God loves your kid or your grandpa. God loves the people that no one wants to talk to in this city. God loves them. And He dare expect us to feel the same way about them, to love them. And it's not always easy. Knowing how to love someone is not always easy. We don't know how to, but God does. And He will take you. And use you to present Himself to them. That's what it's all about. Here, in Madagascar, in Portugal, or any other place, every creature, everyone. Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. You see this on plaques in Christian bookstores. In a variety of scenarios, you'll see this verse. And that's usually all you see of it. Be still. Now, in America, and not certainly not just America, but in many of the modern, more modern nations, be still is quite a tall order. My goodness, there's so much going on. If you have children, there's so much to do. Be still. Even retired folks. We can have a lot going on in our lives, even if it's, well, I got to catch that program that I always see. You know, we all have whatever our routine and what makes up our life. And God says, in the midst of our busyness, be still. Stop. Know me. Know that I am God. That was what Moses said. Who do I say is sending me? Who are you? I am is sending you. Be still and know I am God. stop. Take time. Stop and know me. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. Know my purpose. Know what I want. Stop and know me. That's not the end of the verse. What is the result of doing that? Look at it with me. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the church brethren. Is that what it says? What's it say? Oh. The heathen. Some of those folks, don't know if I want preachers to see me talking to them. God wants to see you talking to them. God wants to see you in the right way, loving on them. Telling them about Him. Because He loves them. You're going to have in a brother that has a mission ministry. Because there was someone that had the heart to reach the down and outers in San Diego back during the war. My dad said goodbye to a woman he was with. Gave her his wine bottle. Because as they passed the door of that Skid Row mission, they were singing a hymn. And God used that, whatever it was, to say to my dad, "You are so wrong." He said goodbye to her and went in and heard the gospel. Was loved with the truth of Christ. And he bowed his heart and life to the Lord Jesus. And thank God, one of the greatest discouragements in my life, my father, but one of the greatest encouragements for me to try to be genuine with the Lord and to live for Him. Willing to love the unlovely. That's a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? Am I willing? Yeah, I'm here on church. Praise a faithful church. I know who I'm talking to this morning. I may not know you individually, but this church has stood with us faithfully since 1993 or 94 in support. It's always there. You can count on us. We didn't come by our last time. We were in Southern California when we were on furlough because your pastor, previous pastor, said, "Listen, if you need to get in and try to get some more support somewhere, you don't have to come by." And we were trying to raise more support, and I took him up on it. So it's been a few more years. You've been faithful to us. Faithful to the Lord. I know I'm talking to a church that it does matter. It matters to you. It matters to your pastor. To some of you men and women that have been in this church for years. It does matter to you. You're faithful, you're here, you give. But ask yourself, am I willing to love the unlovely? Me. Am I willing? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The idea of the whole world. That's the result of us as believers truly drawing close to our Lord. It's not, oh, how faithful I've been or how much I've given. And thank you for the giving. How many years I? No.
Be still and know me, and I will be exalted among the heathen throughout the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn there with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is that passage that speaks of the new creation. It's a tremendous passage, and it overwhelms my heart every time I study it or preach it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want us to look at verse 14 and 15 and then 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 reads this, thusly. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I would like to stop with that portion of the scripture. The love of Christ constrains. Wonderful cooks in the church, I'm sure. Many of you ladies have this word constrain. It's a very powerful word. And it's the idea of pressing something into, not necessarily a mold, but constraining it and making it become something that it wasn't. Constrain. Maybe you've, when you put it through a sieve, your potatoes or a squash or I don't know what all it might be, but you're changing the form of it. You have a desired outcome for that pumpkin pie or the mashed potatoes or whatever it is, and you're constraining that to become something different than the way it is now. The love of Christ constrains us to think this way, that if one died for all, did he die for you? Then we're all dead in him. And that he died for all, that they which live, are you alive in Christ? Is he your life? Is your hope for eternity as well as for this life in Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian? There's many ways we can ask that question. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Oh, come on. Pick another scripture. No. Should not live unto themselves. Not anymore. But unto him which died for them and rose again. This is not about you and I, not after we belong to Jesus Christ. Come on. We are not to live for ourselves. Now, my flesh doesn't like that, and your flesh doesn't like that. Because we wanna, right? We wanna. But God wants. It's what we want. It's what God wants. This was Adam and Eve's problem. I heard that if I get that, then I will be. Now, it was a lie, but they wanted it. They wanted that fruit. They knew they weren't supposed to have it, But they wanted it. And God didn't want them to have it. He knew the outcome of it. Sin. We want to. I want to. I deserve. You know, there's all kinds of publicity. You deserve something. What I deserve is hell. That's what I deserve. But I want, and you want. And then God wants. Sin. Righteousness. Jesus said repentance must be preached, not as an alternative. Must be preached in His name among all nations. Repentance. From what I want to what God wants. We do want. You want. I want. But God wants. And we must repent from what we want and live what God wants. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which loved them and gave themselves for Him and rose again. I wanna. But God wants. Matthew says, you preach the gospel to every nation, Jesus said. In Mark, it records it to every creature, every nation. I don't know how many there are. There's a bunch. And some of them keep changing their names. It's hard to keep up with the different struggles. But there's a lot of nations. And the Lord said to every nation, every ethnicity. There's a word for that. Ethnia. In Portuguese. It's horrible. You think it. It doesn't come in English as fast as it used to. Every group of people. Every nation. But not only every nation, but to everyone in that nation. I love them. Take the gospel of repentance and the work of redemption. Take it to them. Love them for me. Not what you wanna. Is that fair? Am I saying what's true? Am I? Or am I exaggerating? I'd love for you to answer me. It is true. That we would not henceforth live under ourselves, but unto Him. Who died for them and rose again. Therefore, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, we have to determine that. Are you in Christ? Is that a real thing? Or is that, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I got a Bible. Are you in Christ? Is He your Lord? Has He saved you? Has He given you eternal life? Are you forgiven forever? Is that true in your life? If it is, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things, all of this newness, this being born again, this being saved, being redeemed, however you want to say it, all things are of God. This is His work in us. We can't do this. I can't be good enough to merit eternal life.
to merit forgiveness? I'm guilty. All things, all of this new creation are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself, who has corrected all that was wrong, and He has made it right. He has done that unto Himself. He's pulled us to Him with the truth of His Son and the work of His Son. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. It belongs to your pastor to preach the gospel to this community. But not just to him. If you are in Christ, He has given you the work of reconciliation, the ministry. As if God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled to God. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He has given you, if that's true, He has given you the work of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, as well as to your pastor. Who's supposed to reach the ones that no one cares about in this community? Your preacher, right? Yeah. And you. If you're in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, then the Lord wants you to know He loves you. He wants you to be redeemed too. He died for you. He rose again. He has conquered all that's against us so that we can be with Him eternally. But if you are in Christ, He has given you the work, the ministry of reconciliation. We were speaking yesterday evening, his concern for not losing the generation of young folk. There used to be a whole lot more young folk in the church. He was talking about it and how that there are so much fewer now. Who's going to reach those young folk? Ah, the young couples in our church. Yeah. Who has more time to reach them? If they would take the time that they have. Our senior saints have so much to offer a generation of young people that have no idea which end is up. They know no purpose to life, have not been loved, live in a visual world, and they desperately need somebody to love them with the truth. Who's going to do that in this church? And then what a blessing those young people could be as they begin to respond. Takes time. Takes genuine love, not just come to church with me. No, you figure out some way to love those kids. And with time, some of them will respond. And they'll want to come and understand what it is that motivates you
why you would take time with them. Why would you bake them a cookie or help them do something? I don't know. God has to give you the ideas. But then they're going to want to turn around and help you with stuff you need help with. And we become a body of believers that learn to love and serve each other. God's given you the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I am a warden of the U.S. Embassy in our area. Well, not any longer. They don't call them that anymore. We're now some kind of a volunteer. The official name's been changed. And they ask us to be aware of what's going on in the community, especially of any Americans in our area, Portugal, and to try to help communicate any of the communications that are going out. There are not too many Americans in our neck of the woods in Portugal, so we really have had minimal responsibility in that. But that's my responsibility. An ambassador is someone that communicates that message faithfully that he was assigned. Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Are you ambassadoring? Is that a verb? Are you being that ambassador in your community? Are you seeking out those that need to hear that message that you were commissioned with? And begging them in love to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. It is His responsibility. And it is yours. And for this, we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give account. Not in fear. Hopefully in joy. That we bowed our hearts and said, not what I want of it, Lord, what you want. Help me to love that kid, that young family, that old guy that everybody wishes would disappear. Help me, Lord, to love them like you love them. Use me. Use our missionaries where they are. Amen. If God's putting that into your heart to go somewhere, then bow to it and obey. But start here. Be the ambassador for Christ that He has called you to be and commissioned you with. This ministry of reconciliation. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Repent. Turn from what you want and the way you want it to what God wants and the way He wants it. There's a beginning of that repentance in the new birth. But it's a continued life. Again and again, Lord, forgive me. I'm focused on this. Help me to love what you want. To give myself to what you want. He's not willing. He doesn't want any to perish. But that all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. And He dare expect us to want the same thing.